John chapter 8, verse 12, he said to the crowd, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, supposing I stood here and said to you, dear friends, I am the light of the world. And if you follow me, you'll not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You would rightly think that I was being extremely arrogant or that I was a madman. Now, when Jesus said these words, they were either true or false, of course. If they were untrue, they would be the boastings of a madman. If the words are true, they would be vitally important, eternally important for every one of us. If we read the rest of Jesus' life, his teaching, his compassion, his power, the manner of his sufferings and death, we are certainly not face to face with a conceited or deranged man. We find a man who is even-tempered, balanced, stable, meek and humble in heart. And yet he made this statement, I am the light of the world. He made that statement during the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles, and during the night they used to light lots of candles to remind them that their ancestors were wandering in the wilderness, not knowing where they were going, except that they were led by a pillar of fire. And the people of Israel celebrated this every year with these candles in the temple. And they too, like their ancestors, were very uncertain and confused about their future. Just like our society today in Britain is very confused about where it is going. I read in only yesterday's daily paper these words, amidst our feverish activity, there remains a sediment of meaninglessness about human life. Our age is uncertain and confused. Do you agree with that? Is there a light to guide us? Into this confusing world, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Let's just think of the sun that shines upon the earth. It shares its light with us. The flowers, the seacoast, the mountains, the lochs are not beautiful in themselves. In the dark, they have no beauty. Only as light from the sun shines upon them do they become beautiful. Even a housing scheme looks beautiful when the sun shines on it. The light of the sun takes the drabness out of life. But one day the sun which shines upon this earth will burn out. Everybody knows that. All the scientists tell us that. It seems to me that there must be an eternal, everlasting light from which the light of the sun and the stars originally came. There are other objects in space, not just the sun and the moon and the stars. There are objects called black holes. Now, they keep all their light to themselves, so they never shine, and they suck in and destroy anything that gets near them. That's what a black hole is. Now, the amazing beauty of this world in some way reflects the eternal beauty of God, who is light. Yet we all know there's something gone wrong. The world is not what it should be. Its light and beauty has been dimmed. Love and beauty and light have been replaced by ugliness, darkness, fear, and hate, and drabness. And it's not just the world in general, but you and me too. You and I, as human beings, know that we are not what we should be. Something is missing. Now, some of us here were watching a video the other day and we heard some words of Charles and Di quoted. Not this Charles and Di, but another Charles and Di, who were world famous. Now, sadly, they don't agree with one another about many things. Their marriage is broken up. But one thing they do agree with This is what Charles said. In spite of all the advances of science, there lies deep in our soul an anxiety that something is missing, an ingredient that makes life worth living is missing. That's what Charles said. Now, what Di said was this: there's an overwhelming sense of loss and isolation that undermines people's lives. They know something is missing. The Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, did not like Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world." They said, "You're appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not true." Well, how does he answer them? Well, in verse 14, he said, "Even if I do testify about myself that I am the light of the world, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and I know where I am going." And that is light, isn't it? If you have light, you know where you came from and you know where you're going. You can see ahead. To walk in darkness is not to know where you came from and not to know where you're going. But people want to know these things. I saw a program about ghosts on the television recently, and people were fascinated by it. And one person said she was interested in ghosts because she wanted to know whether or not there was life after death. She wanted to know where she was going. And then there are theories about our past. Some say, like big baboons, we jumped from tree to tree. That's our past. And let's suppose that was true. Then we would have to ask, well, where did the baboons come from? Where was their past? Well, the theory, as you know, is that they came from other animals, which came from other creatures, which eventually came from jellyfish, which came from bacteria. So we're all descended from bacteria. I don't know whether you believe that or not, but let's just think about that theory. How did things change from a bacteria to a jellyfish, through all sorts of other animals, to baboons and then human beings? Well, the theory, which I don't believe, goes like this. The fittest survived, survival of the fittest. The strongest and cleverest displaced the less strong and clever. And they got their own way, and that is precisely the darkness of the world. For the philosophy of today is, let's grab everything for ourselves and hold on to it. Just like a black hole grabs everything for itself and holds on to it. Don't bother if anybody else gets hurt. That's the reason for the black hole of Bosnia and Rwanda, and for our own quarrels, resentments, and fears. The terrible power struggles in politics, business, amongst tribes and races and religions comes from this idea that the fittest only can survive, and we must grab everything to ourselves and hold it. And that's how the world judges success. It's easy to judge God by worldly standards. Jesus says in verse 15, "You judge by human standards." In other words, you magnify your worldly and selfish ambitions and project them onto the sky and say, that's what God is like. He's just the biggest and greatest of all the boardroom bosses. That's what people think of God. He's the all-powerful one in the sky. We've heard about the boardroom bosses who've been getting £1 million a year salary, and we think in a worldly way God is just like that, but magnified to infinity. But Jesus said, in answer to this, he said, "I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me." In other words, God, first and foremost, is not the big boss in the sky, but he is our eternal Father, and that's how he wants us to know him. In this world, the owners of companies get all they can from their employees, and the employees try to get all they can from their bosses. But in the kingdom of God, the Father gives all he can to his Son, and to his children, and his son, and the children of God want to bring maximum honor to the Father. And then Jesus says, if you think in the world's way, this selfish way, it'll lead you to death. In verse 21, Jesus said, I am going away and you will die in your sins. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. Die in our sins means go to our grave and go to that which is beyond the grave with remorse. We lived our lives and missed the point. Our life will have ended, and all we would have done is grab to ourselves those things which we cannot take beyond our life. But if we give our lives to Christ, then we will have the light of life. The Pharisees still think that Jesus is boasting, so he says to them, when you have lifted me up on the cross, then you will realize that I am he and the Father is with me. All around us in this wonderful world, we see the beauty and the light of God poured out for us in the world of nature. But we see the very heart of the love of God poured out for us on the cross. That is where we really come to know God. The heart of the Father is not revealed in the big boss in the sky, but in the meek sufferings of Jesus for the sins of the world, for your sins and my sins. May God bless us all. Now let us pray. I'm going to pray a short prayer here. And if anyone here has never asked Christ to be their Savior and Lord, then in their hearts I ask them to say this prayer with me. Dear Lord, I confess that you poured out your life for me so that I might leave the darkness of this world's selfishness and follow you who art the light of life. I'm sorry for misusing so much of my life. I accept you into my life that I might have the light of life. Amen.